Good evening. I'd like to call this meeting to order of our Reedley City Council for August the 10th at 7 o'clock. And we'll have the invocation by Miriam Aleman from Lifehouse Valley Church, followed by our Pledge of Allegiance by Councilman Beck. Would you please all rise?
Good evening, City Council members, Mayor. Ruthie, thank you for the invitation tonight. I will make this really short. I want to share something I learned from stale bread. I looked at that stale bread and I wondered, what can I do with it? And I realized that there was a few ingredients that when we add a few ingredients to stale bread, you can make delicious bread pudding. And so I Googled a little bit about how to preserve this bread. Then I actually learned that putting it in the refrigerator would actually not help at all. And so I was looking at that and I thought about my heart. I thought about how sometimes our hearts can become stale. I thought about how sometimes our vision can become stale. And often as leaders, we have to guard ourselves from becoming stale. But there are certain ingredients that when added to them, if we recognize it, we can make something beautiful and delicious. And so this evening, I ask that we can all reflect on our hearts and add those beautiful ingredients of hope, of unity, of love, and encouragement that makes the city of Reedley so great. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you that you are with us, you are for us. We thank you that you do the work in the hard places, and you just entrust us to watch you do the hard work. I thank you that you have entrusted our city leadership to do hard work with you. And I pray that as we get together this evening, that you will bring us together in unity, in vision, and that you awaken the parts of our hearts, of our minds, of our leadership, of our vision that perhaps are growing stale. Help us to always stay fresh and renewed for your work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Please join the council in the salute to our nation.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Beck.
Here.
Councilmember Betancourt is an excused absence. Councilmember Salino.
Here.
Councilmember Tuttle.
Here.
Mayor Faust.
Here. Agenda approval. Any additions or deletions from the staff this evening?
There are none from staff, Mayor.
Okay. I have an addition to make for a presentation for to honor our city manager for 10 years of service this year. So. And I think we're going to insert that right here first. it's been about almost 10 years, Nicole, since you came to Reedley. And what a blessing you've been to our city. You've changed the way our employees think about Reedley and have put pride in all of our workers, from the people that clean the bathrooms to the people that take care of our trees and plants in the parks, to the leadership here at City Hall. And I'm so thankful that we were able to pull you away from the city of Fresno. And I don't know if some of the city council would like to maybe make some comments also this time.
I'd like to say we can ready to sign a contract for another 10 years.
I would like to say it's been a pleasure working with you for 10 years, Nicole, and wouldn't want to work with anyone else.
And I also have a presentation. I think there's quite a few people in the audience that would like to make some comments this evening. But I have a special presentation, and I'd like the artist Tamsin Taves to come up and maybe talk a little bit about
what I'm going to be presenting to you tonight.
So hello, I'm Tamsin Taves, and I'm the artist of the painting you see there. So I've lived in Reedley my entire life, and I just love the beauty of the Central Valley, and I just want to show that in my work. And so I just love to like painting because it helps me pause and appreciate that beauty, and I want to share it with others. And so for this painting, I just was really inspired by the colors of the blossoms, like especially these peach blossoms, mm-hmm. and how the light shines through and just mm-hmm. increases that vivid color. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for having me. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for coming this evening.
Thank you.
Well, Tamsin, I had wondered why you were here, and it's an honor for me that your mom's painting hangs behind my desk in my office over here. And so now I'll have one from each of the incredibly talented Taves. So I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sneaky girl.
I thought this would be something that you would enjoy more than a little in your pocket.
Thank you. Absolutely.
So, and I think it was an award-winning
award-winning
president. Yes. I think we should get all of them.
I've had 10 years of Benny telling me
suck
the
manager.
Do I get a chance to say a few words?
Sure. So we're going to have an open mic for just a few minutes.
So it dawned on me just the other day that I had been here almost 10 years. And I, when it dawned on me, I was reflecting back to what the organization looked like when I came on board. We had just laid off 40 employees, devastating, including one of our own council members' husbands. We had a police chief under investigation and on leave. We had a city council member under investigation from the state attorney general's office. We had two meetings to go till we were gonna go to impasse with both bargaining units. And for those who don't know, impasse means you can't reach agreement, it's going under, it's going to court. And we were about 2 months away from filing bankruptcy, and we had not adopted a city budget by the statutory timeframe of June 30th. And I remember standing here having my contract approved thinking, really, God, this is where you think I can make a difference in this? And so 10 years later, I look at what the council has allowed us to do as a staff and where we've brought the community. We are now, I didn't even bring this up, but we are now one of the safest communities in the Central Valley, thanks to incredible policing. You can walk down the street. When I came on board, and one out of every three people you met was unemployed. We had a 33% unemployment rate. We're now at 12. All these things we've been able to do because the council trusted us and allowed us to go do our jobs with minimal politics. It didn't get in the way. So I often tell my city manager buddies, and by the way, I'm now the longest tenured city manager in Fresno County. At one point in time, I was the only woman, the youngest, and the longest tenured. Thankfully, there's now a few more ladies on there. But I often tell them that I'm the luckiest city manager in the entire nation because of the council that I have. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, we're gonna have an open mic for anybody that would like to come up and say a few words.
I'll be first, Madam Mayor. I'm never shy to say a few words and stuff, but it's been obviously the city manager hired me as your first as police chief for the city of Reedley under her tenure, and I really do appreciate it. And I told her this a couple of weeks ago when we were going over my evaluation that I've never worked for a city manager before, and quite honestly, I don't know how it would be to work for another city manager. I really do appreciate her leadership, her friendship, her ability to allow us to do our job the best that we know how to do it. And, you know, she did mention about this being the safest, one of the safest communities, and I would say in the state, but it's because of her. It's because she allows us to do our job. And she, and so she has been a complete blessing to us. And quite honestly, the, you know, the thought of her going anywhere, somewhere else is painful. Did you even think that? And stuff. So I hope she doesn't leave anytime soon. You know, and so I really do appreciate everything that she has done over the past 10 years. So continued just blessings to you, boss.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Mayor, I'd just like to add my comments to the others you've heard this evening. I'm a relative newcomer here to the city of Reedley. And one of my deciding factors in coming here was your city manager. She was probably the second person that I met when I was doing background research about Reedley College and the community of Reedley and the surrounding areas. I would say beyond that, her partnership, her collegiality, we've done many things together already. We've partnered on grant applications. I see a bright future over the next 10 years. You may be aware of some of the work that we're going to be doing at the Reedley Airport. So I really appreciate her openness, her professionalism, her ability to really have a vision of where this city is headed and where we can actually head in partnership. So I just wanted to, again, congratulate her on her 10 years. And I look forward to working with her for the next 10 years.
That Thank means you. You have to stay for 10 too, I Jerry.
I'm Marianne Caruso, formerly of Kings Canyon Unified School District. So I no longer can speak on their behalf. And as you are well aware, board meetings and school board meetings are always on the same night. But I will at least take this opportunity to say that it's been a phenomenal journey to work alongside this city, and in a large part because of your leadership and those that you find, like Nicole, like Chief Garza, like so many people that you find and put in positions of leadership. Leaders don't always make friends. It's not the popular place to be sometimes, but they do what's best for the people that they have been sworn to serve. And I have seen that time and time again with Nicole. And, you know, I'm always happy when she does what's good for kids. But it's important that she and that you do right by the families of this community. And over again, you have all done that. And she is someone that I have looked up to, who I have listened to and thought, wow, I wish I could get up and speak in front of a group like that and all the right words. Too. She just convinces me every time. So thank you for being my friend. Thank you for being a friend to this community and just doing what's right by kids and by families in general. You are a great gift to all of us, dear. Congratulations.
You only have 3 minutes.
10 seconds is all.
I don't have much to say. I just, Nicole means everything to me.
You're very lucky. That's all I can say.
She takes me hiking all over the mountains. And
and I almost killed him this weekend doing that. But yeah.
And I just love that time we spend together.
Mm-hmm. Love Thank you. You. Love you.
Mayor.
Yes.
Nicole. Thank you for opening up these city chambers to women who would never walk in through these doors. I've had an opportunity to bring women who were afraid to walk in this area of the community. And because Nicole said, this is their city, they came here and they believe it now. You allowed for Kings Canyon Unified School District to bring in a bus full of women to get to know their city, to get to know the city in which their children are going to school and graduating and getting their first jobs. And I think about that moment where I had to believe that the women I was working with, that I had to trust you with them, because I knew that it could go really well or it could go really bad. But for the last 8 years, I have seen the fruit of you not only entrusting those women with this city, but making them believe that this city belongs to them as well. Thank you.
That's great. All right, any other comments? I think we're going to take a break. We've got some cake and cookies back there and some Mr. Paul coffee and I think some lemonade. Note, the coffee is strong, so if you want to stay up, you drink the coffee. If you don't, maybe you don't. So we'll take a break for just a little bit. We're going to come back into open session and we're going to take public comment. Provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the city council on items of interest to the public within the council's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It is a policy of the council not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the city manager's office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the council as each item is brought up for discussion. Is there any public comment this evening? Thank you. The consent agenda items are considered routine, and a recommended action for each item is included and will be voted upon as one item. If a council member has questions, requests additional information, or wishes to comment on an item, the vote should not be taken until after questions have been addressed or comments made, and the public has had an opportunity to comment on the consent agenda items. If a council member wishes to have an item considered individually or change the recommended action, then the item should be removed and acted upon as a separate item. A council member's vote in favor of the consent agenda is considered and recorded as a separate affirmative vote in favor of each action listed. Motions in favor of the consent agenda are deemed to include a motion to waive the full reading of any ordinance on the consent agenda. For adoption of ordinances, only those that have received a unanimous vote upon introduction are considered consent items. Would any council member like to remove an item from our consent agenda? Would, I see Paul here this evening. Did you want to speak regarding the item five?
Sure, you want me to go over here?
Okay, yes, if you would come up to the podium. Your name and address.
My name is Paul Hubert. I live in Reedy. I've been here my whole life and I run the BMX track out at the airport. Been there since we started in 95 is when we started, and we started racing in 96. So we've been out there racing since 96, pretty much all year round. Only time we take off is a little bit during Thanksgiving, a little bit during Christmas, and if it's rainy, because we can't ride when the track's wet. But we're out there all the time. They're actually out there racing right now. And they're doing it without me. I'm the announcer. So somebody's out there stepping up today and has to announce. So it's really, really grown. It's a big thing in Reedy. I don't think Reedy knows what it has. Some of you do, but a lot of people in Reedy don't know what's there and how big the BMX is in Reedley, because Reedley's not a big town. Okay. Fresno's a big town. They have a BMX track. What's in Fresno? 500,000? Something mm-hmm. like that? Mm-hmm. What's in Reedley? 30-some thousand?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, our moto count is as big as theirs and sometimes bigger.
Wow.
That says a lot. Okay. And it's open to everybody. Anybody can race, from little kids. We have little 1.5s that race. They don't race the pedal bikes. They race what I call the Flintstone bikes. They're the Strider bikes, the balance bikes, because they just use their feet.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and they can do that all the way up to 6, or they can start with the pedal bikes. Some of the guys start, you know, we've had 2-year-olds on the pedal bikes, but it's a little bit harder. But it's a nice track, and older guys too. I even race. So there's no excuse why anybody can't come out there and ride. Try it. Oh, although there's a chance you could get hurt. I got to put that in there. But anyway, it's a great sport. You might wonder, why do I do it? And I probably ask myself the same question, why? No, I do it because I love kids. I love the sport. I started out not because I wanted to be a BMX racer, but because my kids were BMX racers. And we started in Sanger, and then Sanger said, hey, anybody want to open a track? And I put my hand up. Probably shouldn't have, but no, I enjoy it. But anyway, that's how it got started. And so we've been out there, love doing it. 3 times a week, we're out there. And that's quite a bit. I get wore out. It's a full-time job, actually. Going out there, running it, maintaining it, and being the head guy that every time something goes wrong, I get all the blame. But that's okay. That's part of the job, and I can handle it. But what we were asking for was just a little extension, 50-foot. I wish we could get more, because I'm thinking of the future. I want to really grow it and make it really big. And if I can get some more help, maybe we can go more days. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of at my limit right now. Still got a full-time job too. So, but anyway, that's where we're at, and I appreciate the opportunity to serve this community. I love Reedley, and all the facts that you guys were talking about the crime and stuff. I didn't know that, and I'm really amazed. You're doing a great job. So I'm happy to be part of Reedley, and I'm happy to serve Reedley, not only at the track but in my church too. The rest knows that. Mm-hmm. So thank you. If everything goes the way I hope it goes, thank you. All right,
Paul. Thank you for your comment.
I want to thank you for what you did for the kids of this community. You have spent a lot of years taking care of them, and not many people have that kind of passion. And thank you. Yeah. I just really thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. When I see what keeps me going is when I go out and I'm the announcer and I know all the kids and I have nicknames for almost all of them. and I announce and I try to make the Reedley track different than other tracks. I try to not just talk about the people that are in the front and winning, but about every single kid. I try to announce everybody's name. Mm-hmm. So they feel like they're part of it. Mm-hmm. And then even if they're a brand new rider, let's say they come across the finish line, they're kind of ways back, I'll say something to them when they come across, good job, Emma, or good job, Ray, or whatever, like that. And they always come to me, and they tell me these little funny little things, you know, because you know how kids are. So it's just part of the territory. And I that's what makes it worth it. Not really the adults, because those are the ones that are harder to deal with. The kids are easy to deal with.
Well, you know, what's nice about your program is that not every kid is a football player or basketball player.
That's right.
It gives an opportunity for another sport.
That's right. Because you don't have to make the team. Yeah. You can do, if you come out to race, you do as much as the best guy there. You race just as much.
Exactly.
And then another thing that I do is I have my own team. It's called Body D Racing. And that's because I used to own Body Dynamics. And so then when I did that, and we were doing the track and trucking and everything else, they said, why don't you start a team? So I started it with my kids. And then we picked up another kid, because you got to have 4. And we said, what do we call it? So I said, well, I have the gym, Body Dynamics. So I'll just call it Body D Racing. Well, that name, since the early 90s, is all around. If you go anywhere in the United States, they know that team.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we've got like 50 some kids on the team. And then so like this year, for whatever reason, we're kind of growing right now. And people kept coming up and, hey, can we be on the team? Can we be on the team? And we're just like, we already got all our sponsors. We already got all our jerseys. So we opened another team, Airtime BMX. So we got like 30 on that team. So I got a lot of kids on two teams. And thank goodness my wife and my daughter helped me. I don't think I could do it. But anyway, thanks.
Thank you. For your comments.
Yes.
Is there any other public comment on any of the consent agenda items? Okay, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion. Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Beck.
Yes.
Councilmember Salino.
Yes.
Councilmember Tuttle.
Yes.
Mayor Fast.
Yes. Okay, we'll move on to item 11. This is a workshop. Manuel Cunha Jr. is president of the Nisei Farmers League, and he's going to speak on current water issues and ag issues in our valley. Thank you, Manuel, for coming this evening.
Thank you very much, Manuel Cunha, president of Nisei Farmers League. And also, we have an immigration organization called Ensure America, which we do a lot of immigration, Dreamers and DACAs. We do it for free. There's no charge for the families and folks we do it, because many of our growers and farmers and all of those workers work for them. So we believe that that's part of what we have to do to give back on those immigration folks. The water situation, as we all know, is not the best at all, especially last week with the State Water Board. And I've seen some of the activity going on from the east side, west side for some of you, and even Mr. Hubert, his brothers, I believe, or went way back that, and even people like Frank Kimura, and I can name a litany of folks, even when I was teaching at Reedley College, the water situation for this valley was that there was always a west side and east side. Mm-hmm. And last week, some of our west side and east side guys sided with the NRDC, the National Defense Council, which is to take all the water and put it for the fish and forget about the rural communities and human lives. I was in Avenel last week and it was pretty sad when the mayor has to kind of beg for water out of the aqueduct. Mm-hmm. But yet we can let it go to the fish. And some of us are really not happy at all. And this organization goes way back during Cesar Chavez and Harry Kubo, and many of the Japanese Americans and Armenians and Germans all got together to defend their farms and to defend the rights of farm workers. And I just don't like seeing a west side, east side attack by farmers and some of the big guys suddenly siding. And it's just not good. We're going to keep fighting for water. No matter whatever happens, we have to. People have to eat. The farmers in this valley and the farm workers made everything happen in 2020. They were the essentials, along with our hospitals. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. And the fire department, the police department, all of those people were part of what makes up this valley and everything. So we're not going to give up. I know that after last week's, some of the folks on them is that maybe it's time to go back to 1970 and look at, maybe it's time to take a strong position and strike against the United States, is that farmers and farm workers and communities, rural communities, are just as important as Los Angeles or San Francisco. When I hear that they have all the water, there's no problems with them, and Avenel and everything in Farmersville and Stratford and all these places, and even Reedley for the water that you have, and even Orange Cove. If it wasn't for a couple of farmers a couple of years ago, Orange Cove would have been in serious trouble. And some farmers went to Victor Lopez and forwent their crops for water and gave the water to the cities so people can have. So, but we're also tonight on another issue that is huge, and it's called immigration. And before you tonight in your packets was two letters, or to two senators, a letter describing the immigration issues that are before the Senate today. And then also in your packet is the name and key emails for those two staffers that work for Senator Feinstein and Senator Padilla. And in that letter, what we're asking is that the House passed an immigration bill called the Farm Worker Modernization Act. It passed out of the House and went to the Senate. In the Senate is where we were told, I was told, not to cause a lot of havoc on the House side and have it stay over there, get it out of there, and get it over to the Senate, where you might have more greater opportunities because of Senator Feinstein and a few others. Well, what they did on the House side is they took out all the packing houses and processing facilities and cotton gins and don't consider them agriculture. Huh. So all these workers and families that work in there aren't going to be part of the ag bill. And that's that has to stop, because these are families and you've got to stop tearing apart families. And that's what we've been doing. The Congress has failed over 30 years to deal with this issue. This town had some ICE audits. I was involved in 2012 and 2015. Thank God for, and excuse that expression, for McDonald's in this town, because I met there with a lot of workers that had to be gone from packing houses because there was an ICE audit. And that meant their documents weren't valid. So where do those people go? Well, I don't know if it's, if I'm harboring an illegal alien or not, but to me at McDonald's, I'm in a McDonald's hamburger place. And if somebody asks me, is there a job? I'll say, yes, here's where you can go. I don't know who they are. And I didn't ask, but we did find them jobs. So in this letter that goes to Senator Feinstein and Padilla is to say, define agriculture the way it should be, to include packing houses and processing facilities, any type of packing, even packing in the field is considered non-ag. So they have gone to this level of, I think, wanting something, but thinking, well, let's make it easy and only be so many people. That ain't going to happen. The way we've said it is, if you don't give us the packing houses and the processing, we're going to oppose the bill for the farm workers. And we will tell them why we oppose, because we were tired of you splitting up families. Because the husband gets the card, the wife doesn't, that's working in the packing house. No value. It doesn't make any sense. It's just, I can't figure it. And I've been doing this thing since I left Reedley College in 87. And I don't know why I did that. I did it. And here's where I'm at today. So I don't know what happened. Somehow Frank Kimura, I blame it all on Frank Kimura. Frank Kimura.
He persuaded you, huh?
Yes. So what we're asking is for you to support the definition of including agriculture, packing houses and processing in the definition of agriculture on the Senate side, all by itself. The second part of the of a letter would include to support DACA, the Dreamers. The Dreamers were done by an executive order in 2012. There's only one problem with an executive order on immigration. Immigration has to have a regulation so that you can apply for as a resident alien and eventually have the opportunity to go to citizenship. If you are a Dreamer under the executive order, you'll never get anything other than having to register every year. Not good when it goes to different presidents, because different presidents cut the umbilical cord. And now you're eligible for deportation. They have all your information. And next thing you know, the bad people find out that you have lost your visa. They come to you to convince you to go work in nothing wrong but a hemp field, or suddenly become a human trafficker. Absolutely horrible. So we would ask for you to support that Dreamers also go forward to the president. It looks like all of this could take place around the 16th of September. They will go back on the 13th of September, the Senate and everybody. We believe that they will work on it, be able to do it. Will they pass it out? I'm hoping that by the end of September, it'll be to the president. He has said very clearly, and we were on a call with him, that he would sign the agricultural immigration bill, and he would sign Dreamers. And Dreamers would only take 2012, 2018 permanent residency. Anybody after 2018 to 2020, and those that reapplied because they were here legally, in the sense because their age, they would get a temporary card. But anybody from 2018 to 2012 would get a permanent resident alien card. They've been all fingerprinted, medical, they pay taxes, their social security cards, everything on those folks has been vented. There's no reason why, and it's only about, when I say only, about 960,000 people across the U.S. We have the biggest number in the San Joaquin Valley compared to even San Francisco and L.A. So that tells you a lot of those families are in the agriculture industry, in the packing houses, running, doing banking, doing tractor maintenance repairs. There's a lot of positive things that have gone on from the Dreamers. So that's what I'm here, and I've taken more than my time. But for your support of sending a letter, I have 22 cities done. I was in Dinuba tonight. And I was watching the time and I was sweating. I really was. But I also have in my car is a bunch of sanitizer and KN95 masks for you to give out when people pay their bills in case they don't have the vaccine. At least the city can give them some a mask and sanitizer. It's really good sanitizer too. It's a 16-ounce bottle. So I got you 300 of each item. So after I'm done, I'll go ahead and back around and then you just tell me where to unload and I'll unload it. But again, I want to thank you, Mayor, very much.
And thank you, Manuel.
I miss Reedley College. I really do, because those kids, they were great. I think I should have stood there. I would have been not so much worried about what we're trying to do, but it's great. And the Nisei Farmers League respects the growers and the farm worker families in your rural communities. You are a very important community. You really are. Even if you're 25,000 or 29, to me, you're much more important than the big one by the ocean and the other big one by the ocean. You make it where it happens with, and I like the sports. That's tremendous. Everybody has an opportunity. So, but again, thank you very much for all your time here.
Thank you, Manuel. Appreciate you coming. And yes, Reedley is a fruit basket of the nation. So we appreciate the farmers and the fields that are here. Okay, our next item is a public hearing. And we'd like to consider the following items, A and B, for the annexation of Tract 6196, Phases 2 and 3, Reedley and Aspen, into the City of Reedley Landscaping and Lighting Maintenance District Number 1. And A will open the public hearing for the annexation of Territory Tract 6196, Phases 2 and 3, into the City of Reedley Landscaping and Lighting Maintenance District Number 1 as Zone BB, D as in boy. Close, and then I'll close the public hearing and we'll open the ballots.
Correct.
So Mary Lou.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. Mary Lou Morales, city engineer. Item number 12 before you tonight is to conduct the public hearing for the proposed annexation of Track 6196 phases 2 and 3, located on the northeast corner of Reed and Aspen Avenue, into the City of Reedley Landscaping and Lighting Maintenance District Number 1 as Zone BB. On June 22nd, Council adopted resolution number 2021-060, initiating the proceedings and setting the public hearing for tonight relative to the annexation. The public was noticed of this public hearing in accordance with state law. As allowed by the Landscaping and Lighting Act of 1972, the city may annex territory into any existing landscaping and lighting maintenance district to provide for the ongoing costs for the maintenance of landscaping and lighting improvements. This places the cost of maintaining improvements upon the property owners directly benefiting from the improvements. The annexation of this tract into the district is required so that an assessment may be levied to cover ongoing maintenance costs within Zone BB. The annual assessment for Zone BB was calculated to be at $105.02 per equivalent benefit unit with 84 equivalent benefit units consistent with the 84 residential lots that'll be going in with phases 2 and 3 of 6196. If voted in favor of the annexation, this would be the amount assessed to the property owners beginning in fiscal year 2022-2023. The annexation process requires that City Council conduct a public hearing to consider any comments from the public regarding the annexation. Once the public hearing is completed, the ballots that were sent to all the impacted property owners shall be open and read aloud, either in support or against the annexation. If voted in favor of the annexation, it is recommended that Council adopt resolution number 2021-080, approving the annexation of Tract 6196, phases 2 and 3 into the Landscaping and Lighting Maintenance District as Zone BB. This concludes my presentation, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mary Lou. Are there any questions from our council on this item? Then we'll announce the opening of the public hearing. I'll open the public hearing. Is there any public comment on this issue? Any public from?
No one with their hand raised. Okay.
Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing if there's no public comment. And I'd like to ask for a vote on item A only.
Motion. Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Beck.
Yes.
Councilmember Salino.
Yes.
Councilmember Tuttle.
Yes.
Mayor Fath.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to ask the city clerk to open the ballot and announce the vote.
There was one envelope mailed with 84 votes and one envelope was returned. It is not marked. If it is not marked, it is not signed.
Okay, so we will table it and we will return on the next council meeting.
Okay, so we'll wait to do item B also then?
Yes.
Okay, so we will table the rest of this item 12 to another meeting and hopefully we'll get correct vote count for
yes.
The next one. Okay, we'll move on to a public hearing. Item number 13, consider the following items A and B for the annexation of Tract 6178, Frankwood and South into the City of Reedley Landscaping and Lighting Maintenance District number 1. We'll open the public hearing for the annexation of Territory Tract 6178 into the City of Reedley Landscaping and Lighting Maintenance District number 1 as Zone A, Alphabet A. Close the public hearing and then open the ballots. So, Mary Lou.
Okay.
We'll move on to that one.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. Mary Lou Morales, city engineer. Item number 13 before you tonight is to conduct the public hearing for annexation of 6178, Tract 6178, located on the northeast corner of Frankwood and South into the Landscaping and Lighting Maintenance District as Zone 8A. On June 22nd, Council adopted Resolution 2021-063, initiating proceedings and setting a public hearing for August 10th, 2021, relative to the annexation of Zone AA into the city's LLMD. The public was noticed of this public hearing in accordance with state law. The annual assessment, as allowed by the Landscaping and Lighting Act of 1972, the city may annex territory into any existing landscaping and lighting maintenance district to provide for the ongoing costs of the landscaping and lighting installed with new developments. The annexation of this tract into the district is required for an assessment to be levied on property taxes of each property owner. The annual assessment for the Zone AA was calculated to be $116.86 per equivalent benefit unit with 170.95 EBUs consistent with 150 residential lots in Tract 6178 and 4.19 acres of the commercial lot on the corner of Frankwood and South. If voted in favor, this amount would be assessed to the property owners beginning fiscal year 2022-2023.
The annexation process requires City Council open a public hearing and listen to any comments regarding the annexation. Once the public hearing is completed, the ballots should be open and read either in support or against the annexation. If voted in favor, it's recommended that Council adopt Resolution 2021-081 approving the annexation of Track 6178 into the LLMD as Zone AA. This concludes my presentation, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions from the council? I do have a question.
Okay.
On the non-resident piece,
yes.
It looks like there were 20.95 was the balloted amount for that particular item. So is that split by acreage?
Yeah.
For that section?
Yeah.
That's for that little strip mall.
Yes. Right. Or whatever it's going to be, the commercial. Yeah, whatever.
Commercial piece.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the only question I had. So I'd like to open the public hearing to the public. Is there any public comment on this item? Is there anybody on Zoom?
No one with their hand raised, Mayor.
So I'll close the public hearing. And could we get a vote on item A?
Move to approve.
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Salino.
Yes.
Councilmember Tuttle.
Yes.
Councilmember Beck.
Yes.
Mayor Fast.
Yes. Okay, I'll ask the city clerk to open the ballots and tell me how many ballots we have.
There were two envelopes mailed with a total of 170.95 votes, and one envelope was returned. Ballots marked yes. Let's see where it says how many votes they had. That one would have had.
They would have had 56.
Okay. So one ballot with 56 votes.
In favor, correct.
Could I ask a question?
Sure.
Real quick. So I could understand this more. These are going out to the property owners, correct?
Yes, but at this point, there's only one property owner who owns the equipment.
And so the one previous, the Reed and Aspen, I think a lot of them are purchased, it seems.
It's,
or maybe an escrow they, or something.
It's still under one property owner at this point. So whoever had that obviously meant to fill it out because they had put it in the envelope. So we'll
likely
figure that out.
Yes.
It's a requirement for the conditions of approval when the developers come in. Sometimes the developers want to put elaborate landscaping that's, you know, a lot for the city to maintain. So we put it on the developers.
I think the nice thing about doing it the way we do it, which is before the parcels are even parceled out with different property owners, is the LLMD is then put onto their property tax bill. And through the escrow process, it is very clear that if they buy this house, this is what they will pay, as opposed to establishing an LLMD later, where potentially you have some folks who don't want it or voted no. So at least in this point, we know that everybody would know before they buy the home.
I guess I was just curious, like, who... I fear the developer.
Yeah.
Since they're still getting going up. Anyways.
Yeah, none of the houses have closed yet on Reed and Aspen. And this is going to delay those closings.
Right.
Okay, so we had one ballot come back with 56 votes. And there were zero no votes.
Correct.
So does that mean that this is approved, or do we have to have a 1/2 to approve this?
So you can approve this. That does not constitute a majority protest. So there hasn't been a majority protest.
Okay.
So you're authorized to approve it.
Okay.
So you can adopt Resolution 2021-08.
Okay. So I'm going to read the item B. to adopt resolution number 2021-081, approving the annexation of territory tract 6178 into the City of Reedley Landscaping, Lighting and Maintenance District number 1 as Zone AA. The levy and collection of annual assessments within such territory commencing with fiscal year 22-23 and confirming a diagram and assessment pursuant to the provisions of Part 1 of Division 15 of the California Streets and Highway Code. Is there any comments from the public on this issue?
No one with their hand raised, Mayor.
So I'd like to ask for a motion.
Motion.
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Tuttle.
Yes.
Councilmember Beck.
Yes.
Councilmember Salino.
Yes.
Mayor Fast.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Lou.
Item 14 is to approve the amended and restated memorandum of understanding between the County of Fresno and the City of Reedley, commonly referred to as the Annexation and Tax Sharing Agreement. City Manager?
Thank you. And Rob Terry, as you know, is not here tonight. Otherwise, he would be up here. So I'm going to try to channel my best Rob. He's really good with this stuff. So tonight we have before you the memorandum of understanding between the County of Fresno and the City of Reedley. We commonly refer to this MOU as the Annexation and Tax Sharing Agreement. Most folks, I would say, out in the community probably do not recognize that when the city has a city limit and they wish to expand for development purposes, we actually have to get permission from the county and the LAFCO, the Local Agency Formation Commission, to do so. By having an MOU in place, it streamlines that approval process and it sets the requirements and such for those annexations. So MOUs like this, tax sharing MOUs, have been in place for decades. The last time that Reedley updated its full MOU with the county was roughly 15 years ago. We did have an amendment that we negotiated with the county in 2017. Rob and I were successful in getting a much more beneficial annexation standard for Reedley that frankly many cities didn't have, because the county planning and public works department and thus the county administrative officer was very impressed with how prudent this city has been in its growth patterns over the years. We don't do big land grabs. We go slow and steady and only when needed. We know that's because we don't want to eat up prime ag land, but for county purposes, they look at it prudent planning. We have good, prudent planning. So in 2017, we did have that amendment. The full MOU is now expiring in October. And so we're bringing the replacement MOU to you. And upon its approval by council, the County Board of Supervisors will then have it on their agenda in September for approval. The tax sharing agreement, the annexation and tax sharing agreement, as I mentioned, goes over certain criteria that must be in place before the city is able to annex land, or we would say the developers would annex the land, but the city obviously is the beneficiary of that land. It also dictates the formulas for sharing property tax and sales tax, what we would call the additional increment generated by developing property. When you develop property, it always becomes more valuable. And our tax sharing percentages will not be changing. It's the same percentages that have been in place for the past, I believe, 7 years. We have the same tax sharing percentages as all the other cities in the county. So there are no cities with more beneficial. There are no, and cities that had less beneficial are moving to what we have. So the county is streamlining and standardizing, which is a good thing. At one point in time in this county, it was sort of a who could get the best deal, and it was very, very confusing. So tonight we do have this restated and amended memorandum of understanding before you for approval. Thank you, council. Mm-hmm.
Are there any questions from our council on this issue?
One question. The city receives 37% any additional increment generated. What percentage do we have before?
So for the last 7 years, we've had that percent.
Same
prior percent. To that, we only got, I think 33%. It was either 33 or 34. So it was made more beneficial, and that's been in place and will continue in place for 15 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does this include the map? Is it the future growth area? Is that what it is? Not the full sphere of influence, I meant.
Right. Thank you for pointing that out, Mr. Tuttle, because that is an important aspect of this MOU as well. When the county does this with the various cities, they don't take into consideration the entire sphere of influence for annexation. They look at potential growth areas. And that's because some cities have very large spheres, and that would take in a lot of land that they know would not be developed in the next 15 years. So what the county allows us to do is to set those growth areas via a map that is also approved in this document by both the city council and the county. However, the county is very easy to work with if we determine that there is development that needs to take place in another part of town that is not in that approved growth area. They allow us to do an amendment and we work through that process with them. It does have to be approved by council. It does have to be approved by LAFCO and by the county, but it's doable. We can certainly do that. So they've worked with us very well at the county on this particular map. We think this represents our potential probable new growth areas within the next 15 years.
So I imagine then we'll have to do an amendment for the Manning Otani property.
Actually, that one is moving through right now.
Just because on the map itself, the sphere of influence, not future growth.
Yeah, I believe Rob would tell you that that's being done all parallel track, same time with everything that's going through the county and with LAFCO.
Yeah, either way. So, I mean, if it's easy to amend it.
And that is going quite well, by the way, so.
Hi, can you guys hear me? Hey, can you guys hear me?
Oh, okay. Loud and clear.
My apologies. I didn't mean to scream into the phone. I just wanted to make sure, thank you very much, Nicole, for the presentation. To go to Councilman Tuttle's question, the county assumes that any items or areas that are within the current sphere of influence by default would already be understood between the county, us, and LAFCO for potential annexation, even though there is still, of course, coordination that needs to happen between us, the county, and LAFCO as we would go through an official annexation process. But for MOU purposes, it's anything that is going to go beyond the existing sphere of influence and or existing city limit. So that's why the areas that you see right now would go outside of what our existing sphere is.
That makes sense.
Okay. Thanks, Rob.
Thank you.
So I have a question that I just happened to notice tonight. The airport property. So is only part of that airport property in the city limits now?
Is Rob's hand up again?
Are you still?
Yeah, I can cover that one if you'd like, Nicole.
I would love it. Thank you. Your technical expertise is appreciated. Go
ahead. Yeah, no problem. So what we've done is we've identified the additional area that is outside of the sphere of influence, adjacent to the city limits and our sphere of influence. Right now, the sphere of influence only goes around the airport property itself, minus the 40 acres at the very northeast corner. Which is actually owned by the city. So the expanded area or this potential area of growth as understood within the MOU would encompass not only that little part right there, but also additional land to the west that could facilitate growth as we are continually working with economic development and businesses in the aviation world.
Okay, so my question is that that property owned by the city? At this point?
So the
to the northeast, the 40 acres to the northeast is currently owned by the city. Everything to the west area that you're looking at on the map, that is not currently owned by the city. But we would be identifying that as a potential future growth area.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Is any of our sphere south into Tulare County?
No, would not cross a county line.
Would that keep us from developing, like to stay out of
Yeah.
From Tulare County.
We cannot cross a county line. What you might have seen in Kingsburg with new development that appeared to cross the county line, it is technically in Tulare County, even though it butts up against the Kingsburg line. And so there was a lot of coordination that had to be done. And there's a special agreement for Kingsburg Municipal Services to service a Tulare County development. So if you're thinking, because I get this a lot, of why Kingsburg was allowed to expand into Tulare, it was not. It's a Tulare County development. We can't cross the county line. So that will be our border, that southern border. So our growth areas would be the remaining portion of Fresno County.
Yeah, years ago, City of Remy and Fresno, I mean, Dinuba, agreed that we would not infringe each other's boundaries on the county line. So that we wouldn't grow right next to each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Open space, you might say.
Mm-hmm. They called it, I think they called it a green belt, didn't they?
Or green, like a green belt.
Something, yeah. Yeah. So. Okay, any other questions from any council members? No. Any questions from the public on this item?
Hello, Arthur Henry.
Any questions from Zoom people?
No, Arthur Henry.
Okay. We'll entertain a motion.
So move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Salino.
Yes.
Councilmember Tuttle.
Yes.
Councilmember Beck.
Yes.
Mayor Fast.
Yes. We'll move to item number 15. Approval of items pertaining to the use of coronavirus state and local fiscal recovery funds under the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021. And we're going to take these one at a time. So I'll start with item one, adopt resolution number 2021-083, amending the 2021-22 adopted budget to appropriate $3,438,204 in coronavirus state and local fiscal recovery funds under the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021 for necessary investments in water infrastructure, assistance to small businesses, and one-time premium pay to essential city workers. Mr. Malikian.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council. Paul Malikian. This item before you tonight has been several months in the formulation, lots of digging into the regulations, trying to figure out what was meant by the law and maybe how best to propose a program for the funds that best aligns with our existing priorities. So this item is to appropriate a portion of the funds coming from the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021. Was adopted into law in March of 2021. It's a $1.9 trillion economic stimulus package of just huge proportions meant to speed up the recovery from the pandemic. Some would argue that it's been very effective. In fact, some parts of the economy are literally on fire just from all the demand. I shouldn't say literally on fire, but there's just a lot of economic activity happening out there, but parts of our state are on fire. Mm-hmm. That said, part of that $1.9 trillion was for state and local fiscal recovery funds that is been allocated to the U.S. Department of Treasury and then doled out essentially to the states. And then the states are responsible for distributing the funds to the smaller cities of under 50,000 population, of which our city is. So the state of California received over $1.2 billion that go to these non-entitlement cities. So that would be ours. Of that over $1.2 billion, Reedley's share of the state and local fiscal recovery funds is $6,137,939. That's a lot of money for Reedley. So that said, it is paid over two equal payments in July 2021 and then 12 months later in July of 22. The city has received its first payment of $3,068,969.50. So we did receive that last month. And the second payment, of course, will be about a year later. We've used the last several months to comb through the regulations. They are interim regulations that many, many cities are now acting on. They're not anticipating huge changes to the final regulations that are expected sometime this fall. But these interim regulations are just over 150 pages long. The city managers read through them multiple times. I've read through them multiple times, staff as well. So we've become very familiar with them. Also had a lot of discussions with surrounding communities and cities to figure out sort of what they're doing as well. So what is before you tonight is a proposed plan for just over half of the allocation because of several reasons why we're not bringing forward a plan for all of the funds at this time. One of which is we have until 2026 to expend the funds, so we don't need to rush out and spend all the money this year. Some grant funds are a much tighter window. We have a little more time. They built that time into it, especially considering that cities and counties and states may do water and sewer projects, and there's a long planning time on those. Mm-hmm. Also, we have a fairly full plate already of capital projects. Our department heads are, I don't want to say they're busy because everybody's busy, but we're fast reaching that point of being able to effectively manage large projects. So we also wanted to make sure that what we're proposing dovetails with our existing policy priorities. So one of our big priorities has been to improve our city water system, including addressing deferred water system maintenance, which we'll get into in just a moment, and some additional investment in small downtown businesses. So we've the ARPA, I'll call it the ARPA bill. So the American Rescue Plan Act, it built on the CARES Act that was approved in 2020. And the city used two rounds of CARES Act funding. One was directly to the city and the other was from the county. And that was a couple rounds that we brought several programs to businesses. We constructed the parklets downtown. We did a lot of utility assistance, streetscape assistance. There was a payment to Sequoia Safety Council. Lots of different activity. We were very busy in making sure those funds were out into the community as quickly as possible. So this ARPA built on the CARES Act of 2020. So that said, approximately $2.7 million is still under consideration by staff. It'll be incorporated into the budget planning process next year, and it'll be in future discussions with this council. So that said, I'd like to cover just for a moment what the ARPA fiscal recovery funds were meant to do. They were meant to support the COVID-19 response efforts and to bring the pandemic under control. That's from a broad policy perspective. It was also meant to replace lost revenue to eligible state and local governments. It was to support economic stabilization for households and businesses. And finally, to address the public health and economic challenges that have contributed to the impact from the pandemic. So just from a broad policy standpoint, that's what the ARPA funds were intended to do at the local level. From an operational standpoint, so getting down to how the funds can actually be used, there's four main bullet points, and that's on page 2 of the staff report. The first of which is to respond to the public health emergency or its negative economic impacts, including assistance to households, businesses, nonprofits, or aid impacted industries, such as tourism, travel, and hospitality. Secondly, to respond to workers performing essential work during the COVID-19 public health emergency by providing premium pay to eligible workers. Thirdly, for the provision of government services to the extent of the reduction in revenue, so there's that phrase again, due to the COVID-19 public health emergency relative to revenues collected to the most recent full fiscal year. And finally, to make necessary improvements in water, sewer, or broadband infrastructure. So that's where a big chunk of our focus is proposed to be for this first round of funding. So getting into the proposed areas for the funding. Again, we're proposing to allocate them to several critical projects for our water system, to do additional business assistance, and to provide one-time premium pay to our essential workers who have worked during the pandemic and are still working to ensure continuity of service to the community during the pandemic period. So if I may, I'd like to get into the specific projects, and unless the council has any questions on the ARPA funds at this point. Okay, so the largest allocation that we're proposing for the ARPA funds is to pay for a big chunk of the Well 12 project. In April 2021, the council awarded a construction contract for a new wellhead and the related water treatment facilities for the well number 12. And that's located on the southwest corner of 14th and East Avenue. So as this council is well aware, new wells and water treatment facilities are tremendously expensive. This would, the ARPA funds are eligible to be used back to March 3rd, 2021. So unfortunately, costs for the land acquisition and some of the planning on the front end before it went out to bid for construction is not eligible for the ARPA funds, but anything incurred after March 3rd is eligible per the regulations. So this $2,102,405 essentially is all the costs of the project that are eligible to be paid for out of ARPA funds. And I believe the council is well versed on this project. And if not, we have our public works director to answer questions on that. Secondly, the second proposed use of the funds is also for the water system in a little bit of a different way. The water well at the airport, and we are calling it the Frankwood Avenue water well, has gone dry. There's two water wells currently, one serving the ag land and the other serving the airport. We do not have potable water on site. We do have people using the airport currently, and it's well known that, you know, you're not supposed to drink the water out there. And due to the current use of the facility, as well as the proposed economic development of that site by the college and future hangars that would be built out there, any kind of future development would be hampered by not having potable water on site. In addition, the existing working well that is out there is very old, and I understand not very deep. And given our groundwater situation, this would position that entire facility, which is in the city of Reedley, for the present and future. So I think that sort of covers it from a broad basis, but we don't have potable water. We'd like to go to potable water. It would be considered a separate water system from the water system that serves our community, but it would still be subject to all the state regulations for safe drinking water, but for a very small system. So the estimated cost of developing that well is currently $250,000. However, this project is just an estimate at this point, and it would need to go out to bid because of the size of the project. And that this project, if approved in the appropriation side, we would develop our bid documents, take it out to bid, and then the actual construction award would come back before this council. So this would not be the only time you would see this project. And at that time, we would have a very good idea of what the project will actually cost. But we've
So I have yes, a question. Mayor. So right now we have oranges out there in part of that field. So will this also cover the farm well system then, or is this going to be cut off?
No, unfortunately, we only have the option to either do an ag well or a municipal potable well. We don't have the money to do both. And Sarah has been working with various well drillers and pumpers out there to get estimates. So unfortunately, we think the better use of these funds is a municipal potable well, meaning that the Orange Grove well will not be redug, or a new well won't be dug for the ag. Ms. Kulikoff, who's the leasee out there, mm-hmm. is well aware of what's happening and well aware that this decision was going to be posed to the council tonight. Yeah, these oranges are very old anyways. They take a lot of work, a lot of chemicals to get them to be productive. And she would have the option to dig the well. The lease is very specific that the water in that well is the responsibility of the person that holds that lease, not the city's responsibility.
Okay. Yeah.
So.
How shallow is that well? And then allocating $250,000, would that be expecting like about a 200 foot well?
You need to come up.
So if we were just looking at doing an ag well, we were talking about trying to go down to 300. If we go to a municipal well, we're talking 400. And that's what Great Western went to with their well out there.
Is $250,000 enough for that deep? I was under, it is? I was under the impression that it was about like 1,000 a foot or something like that.
No, that was kind of the estimate that they threw out. It was very challenging to get people out there, but they took the time, which I greatly appreciate, to our local vendors who do this type of work to come out and talk to us and give us some options. But that was roughly what we were told for a municipal well. Now, again, there's unknowns, right? They kept reminding me there's unknowns. Once we start digging, you don't know and where the best water is and all of that. But that was the best guess that we could have at that point, looking at what we have. Now, electrical will have to be upgraded. I mean, there's infrastructure stuff we're going to have to work on now. But that's our best guess at this point.
What's the size of that well, casing?
It was 12.
12 inch?
Yeah. Okay. 12 inches. And the electrical that we have out there right now, we have a 25 horsepower. We can only go to a 30. They were concerned about that as well, that may not be able to pool the water we need for an ag well besides a municipal well. Yeah.
And I do think it's important to note that, you know, we have been working to use the airport as an economic catalyst for our community over the past 2 years. Reedley College is going to be moving all of their aviation programs out to the airport. And they were just awarded $1 million from the state this year to do that. So we really thought better use of the funds for a municipal potable well, because with Reedley moving out, or Reedley College moving out there, we are going to need that. And then that does help our potential growth of new hangars, potential businesses, et cetera.
So 300 feet deep is the goal, is the plan, or less?
For a municipal would be four.
Okay. Is that a submergible? Okay. Because you push water better than what?
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know what you were referring to. I will say that Sarah did also check with the drillers to find out if we could just drill deeper in the existing ag well. And the answer was no. That well is very, very old, and it's too unreliable to do that.
Thank you, Sarah. Okay. Any other questions on the water well before we go forward? Go ahead.
Sure. Okay, so moving on to our next water project, probably the most challenging of all of our projects that we're proposing with the ARPA funds is to do some deferred maintenance on the downtown water towers. I think the council's well aware that the finish on the towers is aging, it's flaking off, it's visible just from the naked eye, or if you see drone shots of the top. So those towers currently are functioning as part of the city's water system. So even though we have our new 1.5 million gallon tower at the sports park, these towers are still part of our system. The existing exterior finish is a specialized aluminum coating that's of course no longer made. And because of its age, and it's obvious that something needs to be done for those towers to remain structurally sound as part of our water system. So the challenge, of course, has been finding qualified companies to even come out and talk to us and be able to give us good bids or estimates, that sort of thing. So we have, in fact, our public works director has been working on this for the last couple months now. So the city reached out to several companies specialized in the work, but unfortunately we don't have a final cost before you tonight. We just have a best estimate from the most qualified firm that we've spoken with to date on the project. And it's there's some potential issues with the towers, and we'd have to work around all the equipment that's currently on the towers as well. So that just adds to the complexity. So once a final bid has been received, that project will be coming back before you for additional discussion. We don't know what the final number will look like, but by having it in this ARPA allocation, it gives us the green light to proceed with trying to get a good cost for this project and bring it back before you for a final award. Is there any questions on that? Okay. All right, so there's a couple more water related projects we'll jump into, not quite as complex. We'd like to allocate just over 165,000 of the ARPA funds for the GAC, the granulated activated carbon replacement. As you know, these water treatment facilities are very costly to maintain, and the carbon inside has to be changed out in order to continue to filter and make the water safe to drink. It does break down over time. So there's 150,000 that's been appropriated in this year's budget that we'd like to use for ARPA. That would actually allow for the water enterprise funds to go further in addressing some of our maintenance needs out in the city. And then finally, we have ongoing work to our SCADA system, and it's actually defined because we use that acronym so much. It stands for Supervisory Control and Data Acquisition, essentially the system that monitors our entire water system. And this is for some additional upgrades on the water wells for our SCADA system. So that is 35,000 out of the ARPA funds. So moving into the next section of the ARPA funds, we'd like to use for business assistance activities. This totals $248,810. So as the council and pretty much anybody listening is well aware, we used our CARES Act funds that we were allocated in 2020 to construct parklets in the downtown area, as well as some other business assistance activities. But the parklets are the most visible aspect of those improvements. Those improvements were constructed fairly quickly to address the needs at that time. And they were used, they were constructed using temporary materials. And given that we're going into a year of use, the parklets are starting to show their age. So we would like to use a portion of the ARPA funds to develop a plan for a long-term or more permanent nature of the parklets. There's a lot of factors to evaluate, including ADA, the public right-of-way. There's some drainage and grade of the road issues, a lot of things to develop, as well as to really reach out to the downtown businesses, do a lot more outreach to find out what everybody's position is on whether they should stay or go, how many there should be, where they should be placed. Obviously, not everybody's going to be happy with whatever is ultimately decided. But that said, we would like to allocate some funds for the possible parklet construction to make them permanent in some form or fashion. And City Manager, would you like to chime in at all on that? Sorry to put you on the spot. But
no, that's okay. Yeah. I could tell you were good with the water stuff. And then yeah. I moved to the downtown. We do have until December 31st under the governor's guidance and request to cities to keep those temporary parklets out there. We do know from some surveys that were done, some other things, that we have some parklets that people really want to keep. We have some that we know need to be taken down because they've never been used. We'd like to free up as much parking as possible, but we know that the vast majority of folks that, well, I shouldn't say we know, the vast majority of folks that have contacted us have requested that we keep these parklets. We have to do this carefully though, because these are structures in the public right of way. This is something that a lot of cities have done. So we know there's a lot of research being done by other cities, legal staff, et cetera, on how to do this properly. We did set aside some funding in these ARPA funds to bring on an assistant planner who initially their primary duty will be to do all that research to figure this out. We'll have to have agreements in place, insurance, liability agreements, et cetera. So part of the funding here is to cover an assistant planner for a year's salary. They'll do that as well as picking up all of, or not picking up all of, Right now we have a almost one person planning staff, Ellen, just buried with work because of how hot the development is right now. So this person that we want to bring on board with these funds will do the parklet planning, as well as picking up additional work off Ellen's plate that was generated because of the COVID pandemic and the hot development that has occurred because of it. So,
right. Yeah. So the just to kind of piggyback on those comments, the assistant planner position, the nexus for using ARPA funds is that we're planning on using that position to address the economic impacts from COVID-19 pandemic. The public health emergency created a large impact on our local economy, so that position would be directly working on those issues. So
can I just interject here? I just want to commend the city for putting in those parklets. I think it's been a great addition to our downtown, and it's brought out some businesses that people didn't really know were there, because now there's a thing out in the street and they see it every day. So on the most part, I actually have not heard any negative comments that have been directed to me. I don't know about any of the other council members, but it's been a good thing.
You know, since I know he's listening, if you'll give me just a second to credit Rob with those parklets. I had a conversation with him when we began, and I said, we've got to do something. Just please go figure it out. And lo and behold, he walked the streets with a framer, figured all this out, really did a phenomenal job. So Rob, thank you very much.
Okay, so moving into the final proposed allocation of the first half of the ARPA funds, I'll say half, but it's about 57% of the funds of what we're talking about tonight. But the final proposed allocation of the ARPA funds would allow the city to make a one-time non-pensionable payment within certain parameters to eligible city employees and paid call volunteer firefighters that are performing essential work, who have been and continue to be relied upon to maintain continuity of city operations. So the U.S. Department of Treasury interim final rule is very clear in their guidance by putting in several sections, and there's some quotes in the staff report that I'll just quickly read. First part says, since the start of the COVID-19 public health emergency in January of 2020, essential workers have put their physical well-being at risk to meet the daily needs of the communities and to provide care for others. And then I'll just read one more. During the public health emergency, employers' policy on COVID-19 related hazard pay have varied widely, with many essential workers not yet compensated for the heightened risk they have faced and continue to face. This was something that we talked a lot about in depth about, you know, is it right for us even to propose this when so many people were impacted by this? And then we're so aware of what was happening around us, we never closed our city hall. And forgive me for saying this, but I'm very passionate about this, because it wasn't by accident that we didn't close our city hall. Our utility billing counter stayed open the entire time. Our counter to the development community and the general public, it never closed. This council never closed. You've been open to the public the entire time, knowing that there was a lot of uncertainty, a lot of anxiety out there. And there were so many comments from the public. They were so thankful that we were still here. We could go out into the lobby. Appropriate health measures were in place, social distancing, the masking thing. All that was in place. We were trying to be as safe as possible, but we were here. And staff, they were jittery. Some of them needed some reassurance. Some of them needed to be built up. And that was literally day by day. Day by day, the ground was shifting underneath. And I'm not here to pat ourselves on the back, but I am passionate that what we did was a good thing by staying open. And I really feel like that when the going got tough, we showed our true colors as a city. Each department developed a plan in order to keep offering as many services to the community as possible. And we want to recognize those staff for all of their work, including our paid call volunteer firefighters, who the vast majority were reporting with. They were on and they were here. They were here. So we would like to recognize the full-time staff and part-time staff that were here during the pandemic. Unfortunately, there was a portion of staff that did work from home through our after school programs. They're not eligible to receive payment under the regulations. However, for any work that they didn't do in person, and we have a lot of staff like that where they were doing partial work from home and partial work on our other programs, they would still receive some payment, but we have to make an adjustment to stay in compliance with those regulations. But so with that, the total allocation for the one-time premium pay would be no greater than $386,511. I say no greater because at the time this was written, there was a certain number of staff that were eligible. We've had a few people leave the city service. They would no longer be eligible for the payment because they're not on payroll with the city currently. So it'd be something less than 386.
Can I make a comment?
Yes, ma'am.
You know, there are a lot of poor people that live in our city, and a lot of people work on just cash basis. And to me, that was really important that our, especially the water bills could be paid in person, and they could be paid with cash. And we were here to receive those payments. That really meant a lot to me, because I know a lot of people that only work with cash, and dropping it in an envelope and putting it in a box does not go well with me when it's cash inside.
No.
So I just want to say thank you to our staff for being out there, because I think we were one of the only cities in our county to be open all the time and to actually have council meetings in person. Yeah. So our staff was there and willing to work with our public, and I'm glad that we're able to put something in their pockets as a result of that.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor Fast. I do know that GSU is listening for this hazard pay or premium pay. We were required to do meet and confers with the union. I know it sounds strange because we're actually going to be giving money, but we were still required. RPOA declined to do a meet and confer. GSU did meet and confer with us, and I promised them that I would bring forward their request, which is to do a 7% rather than 5%. Their rationale was logical, and that is some of our surrounding cities actually... all of our surrounding cities are going to be paying more than what Paul and I conservatively put together at 5%, which means that some of their lower paid staff won't be getting the equivalent of what some other cities like Sanger have paid their staff. So I put that out to council. We do have the ARPA fund available if that's something the council wanted to do to bump that up by 2%. I promised them I would bring that forward to council.
Thank you. Any comments on that from our council?
So we have three items before you. The first item is to appropriate $3,438,204 in the fiscal, state, and local recovery funds under the ARPA Act of 2021. The second item, that is Resolution 2021-84, would authorize the city of Reedley to pay out a one-time premium payment to the eligible city employees. And the third item, 2021-085, would authorize an addition of one full-time assistant planner position in the current year's budget. That's summarizing the broader titles.
Okay, I read the first item A, adopt resolution number 2021-083. So we'll start with that one first, but I do want to ask if there's any public comment on this issue before we... go to a vote.
No one with their hand raised, Mayor.
Okay. I'll entertain a vote for item A.
So moved. Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Salino.
Yes.
Councilmember Beck.
Yes.
Councilmember Tuttle.
Yes.
Mayor Fast.
Yes. Okay, I'll go ahead and read item B, to adopt resolution number 2021-084 of the City Council of the City of Reedley, authorizing a one-time premium payment to eligible city employees performing essential work who have been and continue to be relied upon to maintain continuity of city operations. And I'll entertain a motion for that.
Motion.
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Tuttle.
Yes.
Councilmember Salino.
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Mayor Fast?
Yes. And item C, to adopt resolution number 2021-085 of the City Council of the City of Reedley, authorizing the addition of one full-time assistant planner position to the fiscal year 2021-22 adopted budget for the purpose of addressing the economic impacts of the COVID-19 public health emergency and ongoing influx of development activity. I'll entertain a motion.
Motion.
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Beck.
Yes.
Councilmember Foligno.
Yes.
Councilmember Tuttle.
Yes.
Mayor Fast.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Council.
Thank you, Paul. We'll move on to receive information and reports. We have item 16, quarterly expense and travel report. Item 17, the quarterly investment reports for the fourth quarter ending June 30th. The Reedley Community Services Commission minutes, Reedley Airport Commission minutes, and we'll go on to item number 20, which is brief reports of council members on city-related activities. And I'll start with Councilman Beck.
I don't have anything, Mayor. Okay.
Councilman Tuttle.
Mayor, I attended the City of Honor ceremony with you and some other city staff, and that was a good experience. It was pretty cool to see the city emblem on a jet in Fresno, and the whole ceremony was a good experience, and you had a good speech as well.
Oh, thank Mayor you. Fast.
That's all I have.
Councilman Soleno?
The only thing I have is looking forward to this coming Friday, go to the River City Theater, and see their program. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it. That's all I have.
Okay, great. We were downtown Friday for the Live After Five, and they had some live music going, and it was kind of hot, but we sat outside and ate dinner anyway, so we could hear the music going on. And there were quite a few people down and around and busy downtown. It was good to see. And then last Wednesday, Reedley College had their science and math building ribbon cutting. And they opened a very large building there that will be used for some of the dental assisting, lots of new equipment for the chemistry department, and then their math labs downstairs. So it was a nice event, and it was good to see that the State Center is spending some funds in Reedley to make our facilities nicer. A lot of times they go to other cities, and so that was good to see. And then last Friday also went to the Fresno Air Guard, the 144th honored Reedley and Dinuba with putting a seal on a plane that will be flying around here. And that was very special. And they gave us a great big plaque, which I took to Ruthie to hang up in our city hall. Also attended the Council of Governments meeting and was put on a committee to evaluate Tony Boren, who is our executive director for COG. So any staff that would have comments, Rob, if you're still listening, if you have any comments on items that would help Tony in his work in relating to our city, you would let me know. I think I'll be meeting with them later on this month. Also, we did an evaluation for Moses sites for the Fresno County Rural Transit was at our last meeting. And if I could, City Manager, get an update on our COVID, what's happening in Reedley and maybe the County of Fresno, if you could give us a brief update, I'd appreciate it.
Yes, Mayor, absolutely. The news is not fantastic, and that is that we currently have over 215 cases in Fresno County when they had declined so far down, and these cases are climbing very rapidly.
So the hospitals are filling up once again. The good news, though, is that the death count remains the same. Nobody has died since these the large escalation in case counts. So they do believe it's because the vaccinations are having cases less severe. So they are very concerned about the cases that they've seen. They want us to continue to push for vaccinations. They did say that there could potentially be an announcement on booster shots coming within the next week or two for folks who are have been vaccinated at least 6 months ago or more. And so that's something that we'll keep our eyes peeled for if that comes about. I have been getting some calls from the business community, as well as just people calling in that are citizens asking if we're going to shut down again. Mm-hmm. And we did discuss that on the public health call this week. And the answer is we're not going to do that. And Fresno County is not going to do that unless they're absolutely required to. So similar to what we did during the hot and heavy parts of the pandemic, we won't be closing or forcing closures unless we are absolutely required to by the government above us. But right now we don't foresee that, and the public health department did not foresee that. Whether or not there are new mask mandates is another issue. There potentially could be, but they didn't foresee closures again. So that's good stuff. Would you like me to go through the rest of our updates, yes, Mayor? Okay. Just wanted to let you know, we did have two items on the agenda tonight dealing with the League of California Cities conference. It'll be our first conference live since the pandemic, so pretty excited about that. We did not receive the League resolutions until yesterday. So there are, in fact, two resolutions that will be voted upon, and Councilmember Tuttle will be taking that vote forward. So on the September 14th agenda, we'll bring those resolutions forward to council so that council can figure out what policy direction they'd like to take. And then Mr. Tuttle will take that vote forward. One is on online sales tax, Bradley Burns 1% sales tax, and how that's distributed out. Actually a very important matter. And the other has to do with potential funding for railroad property cleanup for homeless and illegal dumping and things of that nature. So we'll bring both forward to you on September 14th. It gives us time. The League conference isn't until the 22nd. Also wanted to let you know, probably next Friday, or it could be moved to the following Friday, the EDC and Fresno County are sending a videographer to come and do some shots of important Reedley elements. They want to put together a video of Fresno County that they can use to market the county to businesses and recruit businesses to come to the county. And they are particularly fond of a couple of things we do here in Reedley. In addition to just the natural resources like the river, they want to come and highlight that, highlight the accessible cost of living here. They're very interested in Reedley College's new buildings, their aviation push and all of that. Very interested in our electric aircraft. And so you'll see all of that as part of this video. So they're going to come out and do a lot of B-roll filming, as well as interviewing some Reedley College folks, Joseph Oldham, some others. So that when that video is all put together, it'll be my pleasure to show that to the council. And that's all.
Great. Okay. Are there any staff reports?
Just a couple of one update. Tomorrow is the start of school for Kings Canyon Unified School Districts, where our officers will be out at most of the schools here in town, just helping kids get across the street and reminding parents and other motorists that school is in session and that they need to slow down and pay attention to everything that's going on. The other thing, I wanted to publicly acknowledge Sarah and her team over at the community center. This last Tuesday, we had our third annual Cops, Jocks, and Kids event. We had 34 campers that showed up to the event, and Sarah's staff was just awesome. Madison and Jesus are a tremendous asset to Sarah and her team over there, and it was a complete success, but it would not have been a success if it weren't for her and her team. So Sarah, thank you very much for that. And then just the other thing, the last thing, the tobacco enforcement officer that that you approved through the DOJ tobacco grant did start last week. Our officer was did start last week, and so he's looking forward to interacting with the school and hopefully reducing some of our tobacco access and with minors and some of our stores selling it. So that's something new. And we've met with the principal over at Reedley High School already. And so he's excited having that officer on campus to help deal with some of those issues. So just wanted to let you know about that.
Hey, Chief, who's the officer?
Officer Joseph Raymer.
Raymer.
Yes. Cool. So he's actually been out on the rails of trail already. So he's had a strong presence out there and already talking to people who are smoking out there and kids that are out there, believe it or not, smoking cigarettes out there. So we're already having an impact on some of those kids.
Great, thank you. Okay, looks like we're gonna be going dark for our next council meeting on August 24th. So just a reminder to all the council and staff. And our next regular meeting will be September the 14th. And if there's nothing else to be addressed, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.